Got some more news to make you hate the way college football is going. Coming up in Guy Talk. Stay tuned for that. And more information now coming out about who's talking to who. We want Clint Kubiak and Carl. Carl's more sold on John Harbaugh. And reading a lot of stuff out there right now that the Giants, very interested, and apparently moving up the schedule to get John Harbaugh on their interview list. And we talked about it earlier. Clint Kubiak is scheduled to meet with the Ravens after we found out from an Athletic article that apparently Todd Monken never spoke to Lamar Jackson, at least the last few months, and the go-between was one John Harbaugh. And it was John Harbaugh and his reluctance to move on from Todd Monken, the former Georgia offensive coordinator, which may in part have been the reason he got. So there's a lot of soap opera going on. And this is the kind of stuff we just talked about, what goes on in these interview processes and everybody the Falcons are going to be bringing in. These are the kind of questions. I mean, who wouldn't ask, hey, what the heck happened with your star quarterback? You know, why did things go south? Be curious to see if Arthur Blank and maybe Matt Ryan will be in that room to ask the question to John Harbaugh. What do you make of this Athletic story saying that you had some serious dysfunction in your quarterback room?
Yeah, look, he's going to have to answer all of that, Mike. I mean, seriously, even if it's not here, even if it's with the Giants.
Right. Where, everybody's going to want to know.
Everybody's going to want to know, and he's going to have to answer those questions. But I also think, you know, you can deflect that, Mike, by saying, hey, look at my resume. Look at how much we won. Look at what my quarterback was able to do. Do you have a two-time MVP quarterback in the last 5 years? Like, he could sit there and deflect all of that by saying nothing was wrong and all you have to do is look at the results. The reality is, if there was something wrong, and is he going to admit that as he's trying to get a new job? Yeah, you know what? Me and Eric, we were going around and around, and I just didn't like the way he – I don't think you get jobs moving forward by telling everybody your dirty laundry, right? By putting it out there. So I think he's going to have to admit some things, but I don't know how detailed or how deep he'll go into what the problems were.
A lot of guys are wishing, and guys, that's some crazy talk. You may have read that article in the Baltimore Sun a few weeks ago. The Ravens are not moving off of Lamar Jackson. No, they're going to bring a coach in here to get the most out of Lamar Jackson.
You don't move on from a franchise quarterback.
Period.
You just don't.
The Dolphins may move on from Tua because they don't believe in Tua.
Different
because
deal.
Tua is just not that guy. Lamar is that guy. Just got to, you know, if I'm a coach with Lamar, when you're playing the video games, I need you to have a football under your arm. You got to stop fumbling. That's one thing you got to stop doing.
It's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see or hear what Arthur has to say to tomorrow in regards to just a variety of things with this organization. And I think you said something, Mike. What brought you here? Is this just you sitting around? Was this the consulting firm? Was this you talking to your new people? And I don't know what brought you here where you went, I need to have a separation of what we've done and how we're going to move forward.
Right.
Right.
I mean, and this is where I read a CBS Sportsline article talking about, you know, where the jobs rank. I think the Falcons fourth or fifth. And they were talking about the quarterback, you know, and are you going to be required to fix Penix Jr.? You know, and that's a great question. They also said, and in their words, CBS said, hiring a consultant firm and they told you to change everything, not a good sign. So, yes, it's not a good sign. It's a very big red flag.
It is. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We got a lot more to get to. If you're just joining us, this Trae Young thing is heating up. Sounds like it could happen a lot sooner than what we thought, even. As Shams Charania is reporting, as we just talked about, Trey's destination. He is down with the Wizards, and apparently it looks like that may happen. So stay tuned. We will keep you updated. Hey. It could happen, guys, as early as tomorrow, maybe tonight. We don't know how soon. But once you start talking about, Mike, we are agreeing to this. They agree. We agree. Then it's just about what are we getting in return, and all of a sudden this thing can go through.
Right, and you're never going to see Trae in a Hawks uniform again. You and I were talking about that. And just during the commercial break, Day-Day and Orr and I were kicking it around with you about, you know, when will the Wizards get good? You know, they got Sar, you know, teach that big Frenchman how to pick and roll with Trae. You got, again, a chance to get some big draft picks. They've got cap space. So, I mean, well, I know Hawks fans will be watching that, and that'll be the great what if and see where they go and where we go.
You know what's funny, though? If you're Trae, you're like, damn, been here. Done that.
Doing it again.
You know what I mean? Like, this is why the Luka situation looks so much better as he goes to the Lakers and they got some players. And even though LeBron's at the tail end, it's like, okay, I got traded, but damn, we got something to work with. And I know they're going to build around me. You're going to a place where, again, you came to Atlanta as a 19, 18-year-old kid. And you're like, okay, I know we're not good right now, but we got to build. first two seasons of Trey's tenure here were terrible because the team wasn't any good.
Right. I do think, you know, over the course of their run, you know, there was an early spat of immaturity and some things that Carl and I, again, this doesn't register with Trey Head, so I'm not even going to bother. We just didn't like the way things went down when Nate got fired and how Trey handled it. That's ancient history now.
It is.
Luka is fat and lazy and is a major problem and has gotten guys traded from his
old
team.
Oh, you mean those pictures were Photoshopped?
Yes, they were.
Of course they were. I told you I didn't believe in it. Soft body Luka still exists.
I just got out of... Why do you play rim shot? I just got out of sauna, for crying out loud.
Oh, you lost some weight in the sauna?
A few pounds. By the way, great advice. Do not eat chicken and waffles in sauna. It gets very mushy.
Oh, you try to eat chicken and waffles in the sauna?
Multitasking, comes.
Did you put syrup on those in the sauna too, then, Luka?
No, that'd be crazy.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk some dogs. You like the portal? I mean, you don't because your team right now is not doing a damn thing.
I did. I was talking to a buddy of mine, Logan Robinson, covers the Noles. 32 players in the portal. Check that. 33 players now in the portal. And the last count, only 6 coming in. So if there's a flow chart, more is going out and less is coming in right now.
Are you losing really good talent?
Yes. Well, define good talent when you didn't make the postseason. You didn't make a bowl game. But the guys that you wanted to play, wanted to see play, are all leaving. So anybody who wants to go to Florida State games with me, it's not exactly a robust home schedule. The Falcons have a much more attractive home schedule. It's going to be a nightmare. But yes, sir, it's a disaster. The big one, and we were just talking during the break, is you got a guy who's the fourth string running back for Oregon.
Yeah.
Who now kind of gets pressed into service because it's Jordan Davison got hurt, and now we would be technically the third string running back in a semifinal game. Guy's name is Jaden Lamar.
It's big.
And he's hitting the portal. Like on the eve of the game, 2 days out, he's hitting the portal.
Well, this is, again, not the kid's fault. This is the schedule fault. This is the scheduling and the timing of when these things take place.
So the NCAA's got to change those dates.
You got to change the windows.
They have
man.
To.
You got to change the windows. Listen, either the games are completely done and then the portal opens, right, is obviously the best way to do this because, Mike, then you don't have to worry about these situations. You talk about, you know, Oregon. Washington has the most interesting situation going on right now. And it's so funny because I heard Bunk talking about it because that's his squad. And he was like, hey, our quarterback's staying. And I thought the same thing the other day. I was like, cool. Damon Williams can play. If you didn't see Washington this year, they were very talented, good quarterback. He signs a deal to stay. Then he says, nah, you know what? I got to do what's best for me. I'm going to hit the portal. And everybody assumes, and this is the assumption, Mike, that LSU upped the ante, probably by $1 million or so, and all of a sudden now he's back in the portal. Washington's like, hold on, player. You can't do this. You signed to right. come back. So now they're threatening legal action to say, hey, Damon Williams, you're our guy. Legally, you signed
right.
an NIL deal. You're our guy. You can't go anywhere. Mike, this is a mess.
Look, the thing, and we said this, it gets in front of a judge. I was talking, you and I were talking to a couple of lawyers about this a couple of weeks ago. It's either in the contract or it isn't. If it's in the contract, he owes Georgia money. And it's not predatory. It's like, give me a break. The world's smallest violin for a guy who didn't you know, live up to his expectations at Georgia, transferred because his father is a coach, a position coach, played with his dad, right? That was part of the reason behind the move to Columbia. But either way, if it's in black and white, you owe him money. End of story. And I don't blame Georgia for going after him. And now, as you said, leaving and now trying to skedaddle out of Missouri.
Yeah, I'm talking about Damon Williams, the quarterback out of Washington.
I'm talking about the linebacker from Missouri.
Correct.
Sorry about that.
Yes. No, you're fine. And they're both really weird situations because you would think a guy who had the kind of success at Mizzou would end up staying. This quarterback thing, though, the reason why it's a mess is because people are saying Kiffin is tampering. That once a kid signs, you shouldn't be able to go back in and even contact them, Mike, and have an opportunity to maybe change their mind. I'm signed. Hey, we're leaving you alone. So if this turns out to be true, and if Lane gets this quarterback, I said today on Twitter, look, it's not Lane's fault. It's not. Because the rules allow this to take place.
Well, I mean, but is there something in black and white from the NCAA saying once you've signed on the line, inferred, isn't it?
It should be. But here's the deal. When these kids are allowed to say, you know what? I changed my mind. I want to get in the portal. You can't blame the coach who may be calling behind closed doors. You're just saying, oh, well, all right, maybe he wants to change his mind. There's always a reason why you change your mind.
Because he thought, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Lane Kiffin think he was getting Bryce Underwood?
He did.
From Michigan, right?
He did. And Underwood is staying at Michigan.
Whittingham, obviously, put a full court press on him, convinced the young man to stay there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, you wanted to add something to this whole thing?
So this is not the first time. It was last year. It was kind of under the radar, but there was a player, a cornerback from Wisconsin, who decided he was going to come back, and I guess he signed a deal with Wisconsin. And then he decided to transfer to Miami, and Wisconsin was like, wait, hold up. You signed and said you were going to stay here with us, and it came out maybe later on that there was some tampering going on. So that was the first time we had seen something along these lines where a kid had signed, decided to stay, and then decided to transfer after he had already signed a contract.
Yeah, look, it's a fundamental problem. These are the things that have to be changed. These are the things that have to be ironclad, Mike, to your point about – once this happens, you're done. You are staying wherever you've made your decision once I've signed. But these kids have an out, and they're backing out of these deals, and I'm curious to see what happens with Damon Williams. And if he ends up at LSU, everybody's going to be like, oh, Lane. I don't know, man. By the way, speaking of quarterbacks, Mike, what do you make of Alabama's quarterback deciding to leave Alabama and go pro?
I think he should stay another year, especially if you can get paid. You brought up earlier, if he's making three and a half, what do we think he's making?
Simpson.
You know, if he's making that money, why doesn't Ty Simpson stay and enjoy, get better, and then secure himself a top 10 spot in the draft?
Yeah.
Because right now, I mean, I don't know, we'd have to look at draft projections. Where is Ty Simpson in the draft right
30th.
Now? Yeah, that's do another year. But here's the thing. In the old days, you'd have to take a life insurance or an insurance policy out on yourself with Lloyd's
to come back,
right?
Yeah.
For an injury. Now you can play and get paid and get better at your job, and then boom. I mean, do you think Carson Beck hurt himself? No, Carson Beck's going to be at what? By the way, where do you think he goes? Top 15?
Yeah, look, I think, and especially if he performs here in these next couple of games, Mike, and they get to the national championship, he did the right thing. Coming back to school for Carson Beck, he helped himself. And I think he has improved his draft status. Here's the post he put out there. We're talking about Ty Simpson from Alabama. Bama fans grateful for every single second. Blessed beyond measure to be able to chase my dreams. Time to roll. Roll Tide. And then he goes on to say it wasn't perfect, and it didn't have to be. But every moment had meaning, and I gave Alabama my all. I got so much more in return. Coach Saban was right. It was all worth it. And then he's got a pitcher with a cigar in his mouth and, you know, them winning.
Well, look, I mean, don't get it wrong. I mean, I'd be trying to get in the NFL too, but now the money is so comparable. You know, you still make more money as a first-round guaranteed pick.
Correct, correct.
And what you're going to get even with the fifth-year bonus, et cetera. But still.
You like – but seriously, like, I mean, like what's like, his upside? You like Ty Simpson a lot or do you like him okay?
Milroe should have stayed in school. Who am I forgetting? With the Colts.
Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson should have stayed in school. But this guy, he looked pretty darn good.
He did.
I mean, his worst half – he didn't lose the game against Florida State. Their defense lost that game. His worst two quarters were against Oklahoma in Tuscaloosa.
You could argue. Yeah, he got a cracked rib in the first half of that loss to Indiana, so he didn't play, obviously, as they lost 38-3. That was his last game.
The only time it looked like the moment was too big, though, I thought was the Oklahoma loss and first half.
We'll see where Ty Simpson ends up. Listen.
Well, again, if you're a Falcon fan, that's one of those. Again, there's so many. We got so many more places to go before we get to that decision, but you're right.
Yeah. All right, man, speaking of the Falcons, the latest on who the Falcons are going to interview for their football operations or their president of football operations job, stay tuned. We're going to tell you all about the new names who the Falcons are going to apparently interview. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Want to give you some new information in regards to Trey Young because we just got this. And Big O, I want to bring you in. Guys, when trades happen in the NBA, you have to protect the assets. And what that means is simply I cannot run you out here tonight. If I have a trade in place for you and you get injured, all of a sudden the team could easily back out and say, nah, you're damaged goods. So when you hear guys are not playing, traditionally this is how it works most times, it's a clue. So what did you just tell Mike and I in the break, Big O, in regards to Washington and the player that's assuming or that's assumed that we're going to get in return as part of this deal for Trey being traded to Washington?
Must be something going around this contagion with quad injuries here because Trey's going to miss his game with the quad contusion, and T.J. McCollum's going to miss his first game of the season.
What?
With the sore right quad. So something's going with quads right now in the NBA, man. I don't know what's going on.
Mike, the season started in October, and he hadn't missed a game?
And then he also said his bunion's been bothering, too.
So C.J. McCollum is out tonight.
He hasn't missed a game all year, so that's basically this trade is going to happen soon, kids.
It's going to happen.
And as I said, you know, it's funny. Day-Day brought this up yesterday in a Yeah Man, talking to Yeah Man, No Man. It's like we've covered every angle on Trey and the Hawks. I think we've lobbied for Trey. We've, you know, said it's not Trey's fault. They didn't build a better team around him. And then the ultimate irony here in Atlanta is we finally build what we perceive as a really good team around him, and they get to play 42 minutes together the entire season.
Yeah.
So now the question I have for you guys real quick, what if Trey had played with all these guys and we still find ourselves the 10th seed by the deadline? Then you got to trade him, right?
Then you would have tried to trade him anyway.
It's just unfortunate we never got to see it how it was supposed to work. Trade with Jalen Johnson and Naw and everything else it was thought was going to be great. Never happened.
Yeah.
Porzingis has missed so much time.
You're right, though. I mean, there's two ways to look at that. Because if they had balled out, let's say we're a 3 seed in the East right now and Trey had been healthy and Porzingis was available, Mike, then you're looking at this thing completely different. But if we weren't in that spot, you're right. They still would have traded him because you're not getting anything at the end of the year with him opting out. So we'll keep an eye out. We will, of course, have that information for you first right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game once that becomes official. But it may not happen today or tonight, but it will happen very soon. And we're just preparing you because as these things heat up and you start hearing these kinds of things, there's a guy on the opposing team that you're probably going to get in return who all of a sudden is missing his first game tonight. It's just questionable, man. That's a questionable thing. Right. Hey, reminder, before we get into some of this other stuff, speaking of Wild Card Weekend, I'm super excited. I know Mike is. Make sure you join us Saturday starting at 4, Sunday starting at 12:30, and Monday night at 7:30. Live play-by-play of every playoff game. It's all brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. That's NFL playoff action all weekend long on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta's home of the NFL on Westwood One. All right, coming up, we got some guy talk on the way, but we were talking about the position of president of football ops, Mike, and, you know, who the Falcons are going to continue to interview. Guys, I think this is going to continue, Mike, for probably a few weeks. I don't think this happens.
We all want it yesterday, but you may have to wait a minute.
We're going to have to wait.
But some people are saying, to your point, if you want Harbaugh, you got to be all in.
You got to go right
now. I read two different articles now. One was an article written by one of the columnists up in New York saying you got to go get Harbaugh. Another one saying that they've moved up Harbaugh on their timeline as far as the interview process.
You got to. What are we clowning around for? Like, either you're serious about football or we're not. If we're serious about getting a coach who I think everybody would be excited about, and more importantly, brings a pedigree, I think you got to get in on this. And maybe they are. Maybe we're not giving this organization credit. The problem is, Mike, who's leading the charge?
Well, that's the question everybody's asking us. I mean, guys were blown away. We could actually do the deal. We found out from Joel Corey they had probably already had things in place with Kirk Cousins, and the cap and the moves were already made. And that was something that was initiated by Terry Fontenot before he got fired.
Right.
But in this case, you're right. I mean, if Matt's going to be the president of football, I think he'd be the guy interviewing these candidates with Arthur Blank. Right? Isn't that how it would be?
It would be.
But it would be. And then do you hire, and you and I were talking about this yesterday, the ultimate chicken and the egg. Do you go general manager first or head coach first? Because if you hire the head coach first, it seems like he gets to pick that first round pick or whatever the first pick you're going to have, like we had with Arthur Smith and Pitts. At least that was the precedent here.
It was. Panthers executive vice president Brent Tillis is going to interview for this job, along with the Lions COO. His name's Mike Disner. For the president of football operations, these are just a couple of names to include. We already know Ian Cunningham, and there's probably right now, Mike, what, 5-6 names that we've thrown around that we know that the Falcons are probably going to talk to these guys for that specific position. And, of course, that includes Matt Ryan. But as I said, everybody's on the assumption that Matt's just going to get this job. Maybe he does. But what if you talk to one of these guys with experience who's been in another organization, Mike, and they blow you away and you go, man, you know what? Okay, we might have to rethink this. I just don't ever want to go into a situation where, and this is not a knock on Matt because I think he's capable and I like the fact that he wants to be involved with the franchise, but I never want to go into a situation where I'm just hell-bent on one guy.
Right.
That's what usually when you get yourself caught in a situation where you go, well, you know what, we should have talked to other people. Mike, I want to hear all the ideas. I want to hear what you think of us.
Right, but this goes back to you come in. Okay, you're the coach.
Yes.
Right, or general manager.
Okay.
What do you think about Penix Jr.? We drafted him first. What are you going to do with Penix?
He's all right.
So you don't like Penix Jr.?
No, I mean, he's fine. I think he needs some work.
So he's going to be a bench player.
Well, we need to get a quarterback. We need to get another one.
Next. See, I don't know. I hope that's not the case.
He's running him in and out like clowns in the room.
All right, who's next? Stefanski, get in here. Can you fix Penix Jr.? Yeah, you waited too long. Next.
Let me ask
Mike
you guys.
Mike McCarthy, get your fat ass in here. We got a buffet.
Wait a minute. I'm not fat. I'm on a weight loss program.
You got kielbasa in your pants, and it's not that thing. Come here, let me ask you a question. You work with Penix. Ooh. Can you fix Penix Jr.?
Hey, I fixed Dak Prescott.
Okay, you get to, you sit over here for a second.
You want to separate him?
Mike LaFleur, come in.
Let me ask you guys something. Could there be a world in where maybe Matt's not going to get this job, but maybe he's going to be the consultant what I mean?
I like that better for me. Like, right. It's not my decision.
Right.
And we'll have a president?
But I like that better because at least his voice is being heard and he is a guy that you can lean on. But guess what? He's also not the ultimate decision maker, and it doesn't take away from all these other things he wants to potentially do. But here's what I've said all along. I don't know if Matt's like, you know what? I want to be home for my boys, man, 7 days a week. Okay. And I get to come home and have dinner, and I get to do the things I want to do. Like, I don't know. My guess is that's very important to him. Being a parent, I know what that's like. Day-Day, you know. But I don't know if that's what he wants. He may be like, man, this TV thing is great. They're paying me a hell of money to do it, and I go on, you know, 2 days a week. I can consult. I would think that would be more attainable. But right. I do not know, Mike, what he wants. We may be sitting here, and Matt Ryan may be being like, look, I want to run the whole damn thing. I want to be the dude.
And I know that we've had all these – like. And by the way, for you guys, if you're going to say you don't think Matt can be this guy, state your full agenda. You never respected him. You never – and I'm guilty. I try to run him out of here in 15.
State your agenda.
State your agenda. If you were – and again, it has nothing to do with number 7. You just, for whatever reason, never gave the love to number 2, okay? But just make full disclosure. Can't we just that way we can all then we can have a discussion, know where we're coming from. But I mean, I say that, you know, Matt, and you heard Arch talking about it the other day. Matt, he knows what the Falcons are. Who's more qualified? You don't get to give him a primer on the Falcons. He knows everything about this team. Yeah. You know, it's not like he became a CBS guy and all. Falcon what? No, he knows what's going on here. So I would just say give him the keys, and that's one less person. He's president and general manager. And the head coach.
So you give him all the power. Well,
unlimited power, yes. Because then Arthur goes against what he just said in the open letter. You know, we got to look into, we got to reapproach and review everything, how we operate. Streamline it. Less cooks, less moving parts, man. That's how I would run it. Matt, you run it all. Now go get the coach you think's the guy that can make this thing work. And then those questions we just asked, Matt will ask. And Arthur, let me cook. Don't get over my shoulder. Well, let me just ask you. No, get it. Good luck telling that to a billionaire, right? But that's another thing.
Let me ask you one more.
No, you got to go. Arthur's got to get himself completely. That would be the old. See, that's the thing.
But Arthur has proven. Matt Ryan is going to tell Arthur Blank, hey, get the hell out of the room.
Arthur has proven that he can't win football games anymore. It's been 8 years. So then you don't. Guess what, Arthur? You'll sign the checks. You're going to hire a guy, and he makes all the decisions. Yeah. And you're going to have to put your faith in him. Okay,
which is what's going to happen. You're right.
I mean, was Arthur? Let me talk to the guy that's selling that PVC. No, someone else does that. You trust him. You hired the right guy. Let the guy work.
Yeah, he came up in the management program. It's true. I mean, I'm just telling you.
But that would, because the one thing we can all agree with, and I know that's not going to happen. Arthur is the constant. Arthur's not going anywhere. So why do the fans get so in their bag about McKay? Because he's the next guy in the totem pole in their mind. And he's been there for all this time.
So is Matt ready?
And that's why
to
they
the,
pushed him out.
So is Matt ready to be the next guy on the totem pole?
He should be. Bring a guy in who knows the city, knows this team, knows what we need, and let this guy go to work. That's why it's so, for me, it makes sense.
I'm with it, man. Look, I'm all for it.
And if he fails, he fails. But, I mean, it makes a hell of a lot more sense than bringing a guy from cross. Now, Ian Cunningham, I like, because you talked about it. His resume is rock solid. But then there's the other moving parts. How many guys come in here and they want to run the show? You know, maybe they don't feel as warm and fuzzy about having all these different groups in the decision-making process.
Matt, what do you want? I'm talking to you right now. We know you're listening.
Again, what do you want? Pure supposition on our part. We have no idea. We're just trying to put it together.
No, this is the part that I'm not even going to attempt to assume that we know. Like, just because people say they're interested in a position, Mike, once you get offered these positions, I said to you guys, you got to respect it. This isn't a part-time job we're talking about, okay? So that's the part where after reporting initially like, oh, Matt wants to still continue his job at CBS, now the reports are, oh, if he got the job, he would not continue at CBS. You're damn right, because you can't. It's too much.
All right, let's do some more role play. You be Brian Flores, okay? Right. I'll be Arthur Blank.
All right.
Coach Flores, very impressive resume. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
You still going to sue the league?
It's in progress.
Get the hell out of here.
Wait a minute. I thought you had my back in here.
Enough of this nonsensical lawsuit. Let's go. You're suing the NFL. Come on. Get out of here. I can't have that smoke.
I'm blackballed, Arthur. I've been blackballed.
I know that Ross is for cocked, but he's a knucklehead, that guy down there. But yeah, this lawsuit I can't have.
You know Ross.
I know. He's a nitwit, but guess what? You got to drop the lawsuit.
Will I get the job if I drop it?
You know, go talk to Mark. Go talk to Davis. He's nuts. I don't know. That's why I think this thing with in all seriousness, a lot of owners are not as good as, and as qualified as Brian Flores is. There's a lot of baggage there. I mean, I don't blame him for that baggage.
Don't you need a defensive coordinator? You know how good I am.
Look, you drop the lawsuit, you hire. How's that sound?
That's the only
thing. Hold on. McCarthy, get away from the buffet. I said loiter over there, not to eat the whole thing.
Wait a minute. There's food in here?
Remember, we already talked to McCarthy. We sent him over there. Yes. We got McCarthy in the holding
you
pattern.
You separated all these guys.
My God, McCarthy, you're not supposed to eat a chafing dish like that.
Chafing. Are they going to have food for us tomorrow,
this guy's
by
shotgunning
way?
Prime rib.
Are they going to have food for us tomorrow, by the way? Does he normally have food for us?
How much of you mouth-breathing media types are going to be there?
I'm just curious. Out loud? I mean, it is lunchtime.
All right, true that. We'll get, you know what? Maybe we'll get something from OK Cafe.
All right. What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man. A couple of things, including Trevor Lawrence. You're hanging out with your boys in Jacksonville Beach, and then the star quarterback runs into your neighborhood Waffle House. But what did he order? We'll let you know about that. I've got the latest odds on who's going to be the Falcons coach from the Kelce people. Stay tuned. Now, we don't have a quarterback situation in place here in Atlanta. I mean, there's fans of Michael Penix Jr. Eventually, he'll get his chance to get back under center. Or will he? You know, will another coach, another regime come in and feel differently? Or will have a stopgap dude? Or will we try to maybe even go the free agent route and a guy like you and I talked about? I mean, just throwing it out there. I mean, San Francisco's got a couple of quarterbacks now, Carl. Mac Jones. Just a thought. The reason I bring this up is in one season, Liam Cohen, who was at 1 year as the OC in Tampa, goes up to Jacksonville and just clean. I mean, they fix everything. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was, I mean, night and day. You can go back and look at like weeks two and three and look where he is the last few weeks.
It's true.
Just blowing doors. So he goes out and celebrates. You know what he likes to do?
What's that?
Trevor Lawrence likes to hit and have the fun with the boys in the club. There was a video the other night where some lady, I guess, I don't know if she's a female bodybuilder, just in great shape, and she does CrossFit. She runs into Trevor Lawrence at the club with some of his linemen and goes, I can bench press you. So she gets down on the floor and starts doing some bench press to Trevor Lawrence. Afterwards, let's go take the party to Waffle House.
Yeah, right.
Here's the waitress, and she'll tell you what Trevor Lawrence did when he rolled into the Jacksonville Beach Waffle House, Carl.
He arrived, I'm going to say, about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
He came straight down to the section that I was in. I was too happy. He ordered a Texas bacon cheesesteak milk plate covered, and he had a pecan waffle.
Nice.
Oh, he loved it. He loved it, especially the pecan waffle. He was so humble, and he was so nice. He told me, pull up a chair, sit down with us, and so I did it.
Hey, man, we said that about Sunshine. Some fans in Cartersville felt we were being too critical of him the last few years. Well, he wasn't all that good. He's definitely rebounded, and he's in a great place. Good for him.
Yeah, look, when Doug Peterson was there, Doug said he was injured. It cost Doug his job, but he wasn't able to do the things he wanted to do with his quarterback. He's not injured anymore. He's 100%. And this is what 100% Trevor Lawrence looks like. With the addition, Mike, of a head coach who, again, has done an amazing job with that offense.
Right.
And we've said this, like, they've got talent. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, and we'll give our picks tomorrow, but I got to tell you something. Buffalo better watch out. I'm just telling you right now. Like, Buffalo, everybody just assumes because there's no Patrick Mahomes, Mike, and there's no Burrow, and there's no Lamar, that, oh, Buffalo's just going to, you know, skate their way to the Super Bowl. Right. They better watch out in this matchup with Jacksonville.
They have not lost. The Jaguars have not lost since November 9th, so that's week 10. Jaguars on fire. By the way, what is your Waffle House go-to? I've got to agree with I just do a regular waffle, but that Texas cheesesteak with the bacon, I get the double meat. That's gold.
That Texas sandwich?
Gold.
The sandwich?
Yes.
I get the waffle with the peanut butter on it, man. Ooh. I love that.
That's crazy. No, I like you.
That's my crazy go-to right there. I just pile them on there.
All right, Big O, what's it? Now, by the way, my buddy Chris Jacobson used to work. That's the year they had we had a Waffle House menu, Carl. They had my face on it for Christmas.
Sweet.
In an elf costume.
was sponsored by Coca-Cola.
That's great.
Unfortunately, the day they did the caricature, I was really hungover. I looked like a bloated, worse than Ted Kennedy. Anyway, but that was back in the late 90s, early 2000s. What's your go-to with Waffle House?
So I'm getting the single chocolate chip waffle, not peanut butter. Then I'm getting the bowl, the hash brown bowl with bacon. And then I'm getting a double order of hash browns to put on top of that.
Man,
that's a lot of hash browns.
A lot of carbs
browns,
there, man. Big boy. Man,
it's in the morning. I can work them off.
No, you're right about that.
Orin's going to go destroy a bathroom. All right, Day-Day, what do you got? What's it going
to
be at Waffle House?
I don't think they have it anymore, but they used to have the strawberry waffles at Waffle House.
Okay.
And I used to love the strawberry waffles, and then I just, my hash browns.
What was that apple pie that you were jumping out of at McDonald's?
That was McDonald's.
That was McDonald's.
What
yeah.
was that? It was a special apple
the
pie.
It was a strawberry. No, it was a strawberry cream
all right.
apple pie. But yeah, I love strawberry. That's my favorite fruit. But anyway, the strawberry waffle, side of hash, three egg scramble with cheese, and some bacon.
Yeah. All right, man.
You do the grits, anybody?
I've never had their grits.
Really?
I'm you know what? I can't lie to you. I'm trying to offend the majority of
you're
our audience.
You're about to.
I've never vibed.
We've had this conversation. You're about
I
to.
I have never vibed grits.
Now, I will tell
he's
you.
Up oh, a nor- no. He's a northern he's a guy, northern so he likes yeah. cream of wheat.
I mean, Joe
hell
Pesci?
No. Yeah.
Joe you don't Pesci? Like cream of wheat
that's
either?
Mush too, man. I want consistent. I don't want oatmeal. I want
it's,
no mush.
It's not hard for me to eat grits. Cream of wheat or oatmeal from a restaurant. Like, it's got, I got to
really?
See that cooked by
no, there's a way to do grits. It's called the right way. It's called risotto. Mm. Okay? That's, mm. I mean, I don't do grits, man.
No, grits are terrific.
Grits.
I don't know what you're
even
talking
Joe
about.
Pesci and my cousin Vinny came to love them, yeah. Mike.
Are
no,
these
I'm
magic
trying
grits?
To think. By the way, tell us real quick, hit us up on social media or our text line. Who's got the best grits in town, man? Seriously. Because I have had Waffle House grits because you can get it as a side.
I've seen the debate, too, because we're on
with
grits
cheese,
right
please.
Now.
With cheese.
Well, people don't put cheese, or I've seen the people who do sugar. And there's always this delineation
yes.
of like the people who like
that's
the
true.
Grits without sugar and the people who like grits with sugar.
I've seen people do ketchup in grits.
Wow, that sounds pretty gross.
It's not actually.
You didn't report them to the police?
I don't know.
No, because I tasted it and it was good.
No, and Carl.
What? No, Day-Day.
Carl,
no.
Again, it's just the grits. It's just it's the North. It's just, I've never vibed. When I lived in the South, my yeah. first, I just never did it. I
grew
just
up
can't
on
do
them.
It.
Yeah. Love them. Like cheese, butter. Like, let's go all in. Cholesterol's up.
I'm about to say.
Give it to me.
And then on a good day, I'm just mixing it all together.
Oh,
eggs,
yeah. oh,
bacon,
yeah. oh,
everything.
Oh,
just
right. whoop, 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 whoop. Bacon fat
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Mike, go ahead.
I just want my hash browns, Carl. I just want my hash browns.
I hear you, man. I'm a grits dude, but I was curious about the Waffle House grits.
If you grow up where I grew up, it was French fries with brown gravy.
Okay,
you know it's a potato based substance, and it's going to have some crunch, some crispiness to it.
Yeah.
Consistency. Anyway.
My mom's from Alabama. It's like you eating these grits,
right?
And I'm like, okay, I guess I am, and I love them.
All right, plantains, okay, but not grits. I'm thinking
offending everybody
things.
Right now. Everybody,
yeah, I've offended. Had plantains, but that's in Jamaica. Anyway, I digress. Hey, man, the
plantains
odds.
Plantains are good.
The odds to be the Falcons' head coach are out. Clint Kubiak is a plus 400. That's basically got a 20% chance to make it, according to Yahoo Sports and Odds Checker. Kevin Stefanski around 13%, according to Kalshi. That's the one that our buddy Steve Coonan always talks about, where you can bet on stuff. And it's kind of interesting that they did win that lawsuit.
Yeah.
And Kalshi's a prediction market. Here in Georgia, I've talked about it, enables Georgians to wager on the outcome of sports across the country. By the way, I read an article this morning in AJC Politics. Sports betting doesn't really – I don't think they've got anybody who's even sponsoring the bill right now. Because the guy that did it, Marcus Wiedauer, resigned from office.
Okay.
Remember, and we had the rep on from Savannah a couple of years ago. So the point of – I don't even know who's trying to run it up the flagpole as far as in this session to get legalized sports gambling here in town.
We need it.
And we'll see, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Can I mention
soon.
This real quick?
Sure.
Courtney is a big listener. She says Flying Biscuit has the best grits. Flying
yes.
Biscuit.
That's
she's
great.
Right. They do have some really good grits. Okay, just wanted to mention that.
And good grits at Jay Christopher's, too. Jay Christopher's has
I've
good grits.
I've not had the grits.
Yeah,
okay.
I've been told. My friends, I would never touch
fair
that
enough. Grits. Court, thank you.
Another person in my party. It wasn't me. All right, man. More odds. All right. We mentioned Stefanski at 13%. Mike McCarthy. Kalshi's got him at 12% to be the Falcons' next coach. Let's see, Jeff Hafley, BC head coach, up and comer. He's way long odds, 60-1. Mike LaFleur, he's got about 25-1. All right, interesting.
Wow.
So the names that you'd expect, and this was before John Harbaugh came out. This was released yesterday. Harbaugh, the news that, of course, dropped at the end of the show yesterday. Harbaugh, for me, I read the article. New York Giants, again, they've moved him up on their schedule, apparently. Giants apparently very hot for Harbaugh. And apparently the Bengals
Not Bengals, the Ravens, excuse me, I'm doing the entire division. The Ravens are high on Clint Kubiak, and Todd Monken did an interview with the Browns, or was supposed to interview with the Browns. Some Georgia fans are wondering, could they get Todd Monken back? I don't think he's interested in coming back to college.
I don't either. I think that's why he left. He wanted to be back in the NFL. And guys, he's proven. He's a really good NFL OC.
Right.
Mike, he's going to end up somewhere. Here's the question. You talk about the head coaching opportunities. Do you see him as a top-tier head coach, or do you see him as a top-tier OC?
He's been a head coach in college. I think it was Southern Miss. I just the weirdness now with Todd Monken is he's a hard AWS, and that's coming out. And we knew and we heard from Rusty Manziel back in the day that Stetson basically didn't even talk to him, that they hated each other's guts. And then we find out that Lamar Jackson's not talking to him, according to that Athletic article, and that John Harbaugh was the go-between. Well, that's not exactly a resume builder. You know, when you got to, when you got a star quarterback, figure it out. Unless the Baltimore's two things can be true.
No,
the Baltimore Sun article, which says that, you know, Lamar's work habits aren't maybe where they need to be right now.
I don't know. I mean, when he left Georgia, we were like, damn, we lost a really good coordinator. And you know, when you go back to back, and he's got the hardware to prove it, then you go, all right, what's he going to do in the NFL? They were on the cusp of getting to a Super Bowl. And to Mike's point, you go away from Derrick Henry, there are things that you could question over the last few years. I think he's a really good coordinator. All that other stuff I'm not sure about, but dude can call plays, and certainly he's done a really good job of that over the last decade or so.
All right, man. We were talking earlier when I confused him with the Missouri linebacker that Georgia is suing with the Washington quarterback. And a lot of folks are saying it's just a number of bad looks right now for Damond Williams. He's transferring out of to LSU from Washington. And a lot of stuff now coming out, Carl. There's an article in Bro Bible that talks about, unfortunately, the University of Washington family lost a very popular soccer player named Mia Hammett. And they had a celebration of life for her. And the entire football team was there. And then the news drops. He basically does social media that he's going to the transfer portal in the middle of the service. And a lot of people are saying that's, for another number of reasons, just very uncool.
Time and place, man. That's not it. And even if you were going to make this decision, that's just not it right there.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I will say this. If the kid gets away with it, Mike, this is another precedent that's being set. And what you're going to see is guys going, all right, well, I can sign here, but if I want out, I can get out. And I don't think that's right. I think once you make the decision, you got to stick with it, and you're in there for a year.
Everybody says it, so we won't sell too late. I said I wasn't going to say it. Yes, college football is broken. The portal is killing everything. The NCAA needs to come down. Make the portal the day after the Super Bowl, whatever you want to do. Figure it out. You know, make it the week after the day after the national championship game, okay?
Yeah.
Fine. January, whatever.
Yeah, because teams have to get their roster set. I just think the season needs to end before the portal opens. That's the
correct.
The conflict.
Right, and I know that sometimes kids try to be, you know, that midterm, come in, you know, and they graduate early from high school, but whatever. Dave Aranda at Baylor has lost his entire starting lineup. Everybody is in the portal from the Baylor Bears. Either they graduated, lost eligibility, or are in the portal. The entire starting 22 are gone.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the way of the world we're living in. And this is why, look, college football coaches, this is more of an executive job now than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what, Mike? I don't have to recruit. I'm just going to pay the guys I want to come in here. This idea, and look, I'm not saying coaches still don't do it, because they do. But, Mike, there was a time where you were going to go to a kid's house and you were going to go recruit him and you were going to recruit. And there's still that's still going on. But there is a 50 to 60% difference now in these coaches saying, you know what, we like this kid. He's in the portal. Let's go get him. What's it going to cost? That's an executive. You're just – that's cutting checks. That is not – doing what we thought college coaches did, and I know the job has changed, but I'm saying, like, that's fundamentally what is different. And by the way, it's hurting high school kids. It's hurting a lot of high school kids because coaches are not recruiting the way they once did to bring in these kids to develop them, Mike. And now you're seeing, like, if you lose your entire roster or your starters in this situation you're talking about, Dave Aranda, what are you going to do? You're going to go young, or you're going to go back in the portal and go get other guys?
Right. I mean, this is why, as we said, you know, you need some adults. One thing is certain. I mean, I could – now, if the NCAA doesn't address the dates and the calendar year, then they're even more clueless than we already thought they were.
I agree.
And they're trying to – let's be honest. The NCAA was trying to lean back into being relevant, right? So this is a good way to do it. Go
show that you've got a brain and a heart and figure this out and announce it as soon as the season's over, right?
They need to change the calendar. And this is no secret. All the great football minds in college football are talking about it. All you got to do is ask these coaches. They're right. Dealing with it.
Hey, man, quick shout out to a buddy of mine. I used to be buddies. I used to live in Midtown. Marshall Childs. He started the Laughing Skull Lounge over at Vortex. He's got a new comedy club. It's going to be called Whiplash over at Ponce City Market. There's an article in the AJC about it today. So, again, we always get some big-name comics right in Midtown, which is great. So, apparently, 6,000-square-foot space behind Dancing Goat's Coffee Shop over at Ponce City Market.
We might have to get on stage.
Might have to go check it out. So, there you go. And tomorrow, by the way.
I don't think we tear that up.
Hey, Day-Day, come on, man. I work blue.
Y'all be like, that ain't the Dukes I hear on the radio.
We work very blue.
The family man. Where is he?
Yes. Yeah.
In the words of Bill Cosby, Phil Flarn and Phil. That's all you're going to get. Sorry. By the way, speaking of Phil Flarn and Phil, come and see Day-Day's dinghy live and in person tomorrow at the Boat Show. After we leave Arthur Blank's press conference, we're going to be at the Georgia World Congress Center. And Carl and I, penetrating conversation on the benefits of inboard or outboard coming up.
It's very important, by the way.